Blog Talk Radio.
Now, what the fuck is his name?
Ghost Dog.
What?
Ghost Dog. Ghost Dog?
He said Ghost Dog.
Yeah, he calls himself Ghost Dog. I don't know, a lot of these black guys today, these gangster type guys, they all got names like that they make up for themselves. Is that true?
Sure. He means like the rappers. You know, the rappers, they all got names like that. Snoop Doggy Dogg, Ice Cube, Q-Tip, Method Man. My favorite was always Flavor Flav from Public Enemy. He got the funky fresh fly flavor. Live lyrics in the bank of reality. I kick the flies to maneuver technicality. Do a dope track. I love that guy.
I don't know anything about that. But it makes me think about Indians. You know, they got names like Red Cloud, Crazy Horse, Running Bear, Black Elk.
That kind of shit.
Yeah, Indians, niggas, same thing.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space to exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Your heroes have arrived again. This is Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:02 p.m. Welcome once again for a fun fact, fiery edition of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternoon Radio. Folks, we have a lot to get into. We only have about an hour. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Boy, I have a lot to get off my chest. We're going to let the mighty Captain Kirk, he's going to go up first, then yours truly second. Before we get into the discourse, however, we've got to get into the urban alternative music. This is Rude Boy's Revenge. Rude Boy's Revenge, the cool and the deadly. Folks, let's groove.
Like a man, keep one eye open now.
Okay, folks, once again, that was Rude Boy's Revenge. Rude Boy's Revenge, Cool and the Deadly. Had to pull out his phaser. And speaking of phaser, we do need the captain. The captain is needed on the bridge. We have a fight with the Vulcans. You know, I just... Captain!
All right. Let me get right into it. I'll be very brief here. This is going to be an educational, or should I say informational diatribe, And being that this is Afro Nerd Radio, we can talk about this type of thing, what I'm about to talk about. Now, a lot of you read science fiction novels. You watch the Hollywood movies, and you see these circular planes that fly about. Prosaically called UFOs, but the right name is space planes. Now let's talk about it. Now everything I'm going to talk about right now, you can look up, just to let you know that I'm not pulling it out of thin air. Okay. The United States discovered anti-gravity in 1953. You say, how so? Anti-gravity? Come on now, Captain. If you go back into old newspapers via the internet, but better yet, go to your library. You will see 1953, they developed anti-gravity. But better yet, if you go on the internet, it's all over the internet. You look up Foo Fighters. The Germans developed anti-gravity technology. They had little saucers that could fly via anti-gravity in the 1940s. Germans are very smart. By the way, Germans and Russians are your best scientists, bar none. And if you need lenses made, you go to the Polish people. That's just what it has been. I didn't make those rules. United States have always been too stupid to develop anything. They steal all the technology. Okay? So after the World War II, if you could check that out too, after World War II, 1945, the Nazi scientists came here to America. And then the information that the Nazi scientists had, the complex equation, vectors, on these circular planes were stolen away from them by the Americans, and they were threatened. Some of them worked here for the United States. Some of them went back to Germany and miraculously just disappeared. You can look that up also, just to let you know that I'm not making this up. Now, let me reveal some of the science behind some of this. Okay? This is what the Germans figured out. They realized that ionization energy, which is nothing more than the amount, I'm going to keep it simple so you can understand, the amount of energy needed to remove an electron from a given kind of atom or molecule to an infinite distance, usually expressed as electron volts. That's simple terms. Now, if you spin air in a vortical accelerator, now let me explain that. Vortex is a mass of whirling air. Accelerator, you know, you step on the accelerator when you drive your car, simple enough, all right? If you spin that fast enough, it begins to ionize. I just explained to you what ionized energy is. Then, if you keep spinning it, you get anti-gravity. That's how these things work. Now, something else you can go ahead and look up. There was a guy called Gary McKinney, okay? He hacked in to the U.S. computers. You know why he's able to hack in? Because the morons here in the government, they leave pertinent information on laptop computers, and should I say desktop computers. It's not supposed to be there. But that's just the arrogance of us Americans. So he was able to hack in. And what he found in 2012, now remember now, according to newspapers, they developed the technology in 1953. Now it's 2012. According to him, not according to the captain, nor not according to Afro Nerd himself, according to Gary McKinney in 2012, the United States has a space fleet of anti-gravity. Okay? Space fleet. All right? These are called space planes because they go out into outer space. You can look up all this information. This is not science fiction. This is real world stuff. that's happening in our world. They keep this technology from you. They want to keep you stupid, dumb, and have you saying, oh, they imagine this, you imagine this, and everything. And just as a caveat to add, what you read in comic books, what you see in Hollywood movies, 85% of that technology that you see in these movies is based on real science data. And I would say 85% of it they have done already. The 15% is added on, and that's the reality of it. So what I'm going to be doing in the future, and I'm going to do it gradually, bring you up to speed very slowly, I'm going to start revealing some of this technology where you can look to see that the captain is not making it up, so you can go check the data yourself. So there you have it, friends. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. Let's get it started.
Okay, Captain, thank you once again. I see we have a caller. Caller, hold on for just a few more moments. Quickly, folks, again, this is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Feel free to give us a buzz. Quickly, I want to go down the line as to what we will attempt to discuss this evening. Number one, CNN, famed cable news channel, appears to be having trouble. It's been in trouble for a couple of months now, specifically, centered around low ratings, so we'll talk about that. Music icon Quincy Jones took a swipe at Puff Daddy, P. Diddy Combs, Sean P. Diddy Combs. He said he could not recognize a B-flat note even if it hit him upside the head. And I wouldn't doubt it, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Something that's very incredible news, very disheartening. A New York Daily News piece affirms that there are over 100 active gangs or gang affiliations in the borough of the Bronx alone, five boroughs in NYC, and one of them, the Bronx, has 100 or more active gangs. So we have to talk about that if we can. More cannibalistic foolishness. Cannibalism, folks, is on the rise, and I'm waiting to see, Captain, when will someone make a connection between the cannibalism and the ethnicity of the perps? Not that I am making the connection because I don't think there is one, but someone is going to start to say that, why are all these black folks eating flesh? I don't believe it, but we're seeing the faces of these, I don't want to say gentlemen, but I'm saying gentlemen in quotes. I think there might be one or two Caucasians that are in this as well that came up with this thing, but I'm just waiting to see when we will see this connection, this racist connection being made, if we continue to see these horrific stories. And lastly, New York's own New York Knicks, Amari Stoudemire, gets fined $50,000 for making an anti-gay tweet. When will these folks learn to stop tweeting? Just tweet where you're going to be and what you're selling. How difficult can that be? Check out our Twitter. Check out Afro Nerd Radio as well as Black Horror Inc. Twitters and see what we tweet. It will not be foolishness. But then, hey, listen, we're not Amari Stoudemire. All right. Quickly, I have a little 2 to 5 minute rant. Something that has been going on for perhaps a week is stemming from a piece from the Huffington Post. And it's something that I talk about quite a bit, so sometimes I don't want to come off like a broken MP3 file. But a young lady by the name of Kelly Smith Beattie wrote a piece called "Will the Real Black People of Atlanta Please Stand Up? Will the Real Black People of Atlanta Please Stand Up?" And she was going in on reality television, not really naming a specific show, but she's hinting at a show. I suspect the show she was referencing is a new show called The Real Mistresses of Atlanta. The Real Mistresses of Atlanta. And I'm not really keen on giving these folks any kind of shine. But she went in, and correctly so, talking about my favorite word, folks, lower-tier cultural standards being put out there for public consumption. This is what you people like. This is what we think of you as a people. And we're going to keep on selling this dysfunctionalism till the cows come home. So I'm looking at this. I wasn't about to talk about it because, as I said, we talk about this stuff all the time. But I actually saw this 8-minute trailer, and it was disgusting. One thing about hip-hop wives or basketball wives, single ladies. No one's really married in these things, folks. Now we're talking about quote-unquote jump-offs getting their own show. Quote-unquote jump-offs, a.k.a. mistresses getting their own show. I just want to read something real quick from Examiner.com, just to give you an idea of what these folks are trying to sell you again, and what they're selling you successfully, it appears. This is from VH1, I believe. In the trailer, this is from Examiner.com, in the trailer, at least three women are introduced detailing why they are mistresses, what they would do or say to a wife who finds out her husband is cheating and just who they have been acquainted with over time. While the women's stories are interesting, there's also a male mistress who claims he has dated athletes, singers, and actors. Okay, I'm not going to go that deep into this. Folks, we've been ringing the alarm at AfroNerd for many years now, and I think folks are taking this as a joke. We talked about Barbara Espinoza, the Arizona radio host, that blatantly and bluntly called your president a monkey. She has yet to lose her job. Hey, we believe in free speech. We believe in free speech here at AfroNerd Radio. Say what you want to, but there are ramifications for what you say, unless you're talking about black folks, obviously. So just to cut this short, again, you have folks out there in Arizona that are getting away with blatant racism. This woman can call your president a monkey, not lose her job, and BH1 can continue to sell you menstrual niggerism as a product, and you do and say nothing. That's it. Perhaps more on this. We're going to talk about CNN. I'm going to open up the lines for a moment, Captain. This person's been holding on for a while. Let's see what's up, and then we'll get into the CNN as a lost cause. I have a clip to play about that, so let's get into it. If I can get this up. Caller, welcome to AfroNerd Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. This is 425. What's up?
Yes, this is an old friend of yours calling from Seattle.
Okay. Who is it?
This is Stan.
Oh, Stan. Okay, yes. Folks, this is a longtime friend, Mr. Garcia from Seattle. He knows me very closely. We grew up together, and he is aware of what I speak about this minstrelism, this minstrel behavior. Stan, I want you to hold on for a minute. I want you to say hello to my colleague here, the captain. I think I mentioned Stan to you,
captain,
Steve Boogie, a.k.a.
Captain.
Steve Boogie.
How
you doing, Stan? How you doing?
Just wanted to touch on some stuff that you talked about in the beginning of the show. First of all, you talked about people eating flesh. You seem to really have a big problem. You're very, disturbed by it. And I asked your question, are you as passionate? I see that, it's a big thing going on now, and I'm not really I find it kind of odd. Are you passionate about, are you angry and also about people eating animal flesh? What's the difference of people eating animal flesh and human flesh? Because I stopped eating flesh. I'm a vegetarian now. I just wanted to touch base with that because you seem to be really have a big problem. And you and I always talk openly and honesty, and we agree and disagree. I just want you to touch some base on that for me, please.
Okay, Stan, wait a minute. I hope you're not joking. No one would approve of eating a human being. This man in Miami lost his face. So, I mean, it's not something to really take lightly. I mean, my whole thing is there's yet another story. Speaking of animal, the reason why we're talking about this is because there's yet another story of a young man, I believe 22, who was hopped up on some I think it's called Special K or K9. It's a synthetic form of marijuana, and he ate his family pet alive.
Yeah, I heard that today, and I just heard the results with the guy that ate the guy's face and throat. He only had marijuana in his system, only one drug he had in his system, so there was no bath salt involved or anything like that, which I find kind of very, odd and very disturbed by it. And I just feel that, for me, I don't know what's going on, but I have a problem now with people eating flesh from animals, eating animal flesh. That's one of them too.
Well, you, listen,
there should be a cause for that.
We can agree. We could talk about the health aspects of eating meat and being vegans or vegetarians. That is a commendable act.
It's not natural. It's not natural.
But cannibalism is a totally different thing, Stan. I mean, it's not even – you can't compare the two. I mean, you know, it's not – cannibalism is not the kind of thing that someone can look at the same level as eating an animal. You know, it's just different. I mean, you're eating your own kind. I mean, you know, that's why I'm not quite – I don't quite get your point. Stan, hold on for one moment, actually. We're going to go to the CNN story. Just hold on just one moment. Okay. Cap, did you get his point? I'm looking for this clip. Bring the captain back in. Captain.
Yes.
Did you get his point?
Well, he's entitled to his own opinion. He has a problem with meat eaters. But a lot of times, you know, vegans do have that problem, you know.
Yeah, but
some people would say that, you know, all right, unless the plant life is bearing fruit, you're still killing the plant. Some people would say that. We could go back and forth and everything. It's all an opinion at the end of the day, you know, and he's entitled to his own opinion. But I see your point. Also, too, you're dealing with cannibalism. Humans are supposed to be on top of the podium, you know. They standing up there. Another human is not supposed to kill another human or eat another human. That makes sense. That's self-explanatory.
All right, hold on, folks. Again, we're going to bring Stan back in a moment. Actually, I want to talk about this deal with CNN. As I mentioned at the top of the show, that CNN currently has lost its ratings and continue to lose its ratings. And actually, you and I, Captain, we've spoken about this before behind the scenes about why CNN is losing. So hold on for just 1 second. This is a clip from YouTube TV News. CNN has low ratings. Hold on.
Well, we told you a couple of weeks ago that Time Warner Brass had relayed a simple message to CNN Brass. Fix the network's ratings sooner rather than later. So far, message not received, as evidenced by CNN's prime time on Tuesday, May 16th. The lowest prime time ratings in 15 years. Punctuated by Piers Morgan tonight, who drew a pitiful number of the target demo, adults 25 to 54. Now, we'll wait for the expected massive primetime programming changes announcement that should arrive sooner rather than later. But, hey, CNN, can you do yourselves and us a solid right now? Stop trying to turn your early start anchors into half-assed DJs by compelling them to intro and outro the bump music in and out of commercials. No one is remotely interested, and it's just insulting to anyone and everyone seeking the news. By the way, in case you've forgotten, that first N in CNN, it's supposed to stand for news.
Ooh. That's kind of rugged. Again, folks, that's from TV News via YouTube talking about CNN's low ratings. Captain, we spoke about this briefly behind the scenes. What are your thoughts on CNN? Why are they losing out? MSNBC... and, of course, the mighty Fox. Fox News are winning out. CNN is on the low end of the totem pole. What's up?
Well, here's the thing, all right? I'm not a big fan of Fox. I'm not a big fan of CNN. I'm not a big fan of MSNBC. And you know what they say, if you listen to Fox News, you're not really too smart. They came out with their own poll as far as that is concerned. That's a whole other thing. What's going on here, in my opinion, and that's what it is an opinion, is that CNN is 24-hour news. You have the internet. You have smartphones. You have everything, different ways of getting information. Okay, so, you know, the internet alone is killing them. I think the internet is killing all three of them, and also the smartphone. I get articles coming from all across the world coming right to my phone. I can look something up. I don't have to turn on the tube to see what's going on. It's really simple. If we remember years ago, there was only one 24-hour news station. Now they're cropping up all over the place. There's no need for that. Even if you look at regular news, 6 o'clock news, and then you have 11 o'clock news, how much really changes between 6 and 11? It's overkill. It's totally overkill. The market is not big enough for everybody. So the strong will survive. You get, you know, they have to change up their format. They have to do something different. The internet is killing them, though. To make a long story short, back over to you, Sir Affleur.
Thank you, Captain. Briefly on this matter, I think, first of all, CNN in the beginning, you know, 20, now I guess 30 years now, was something unique as far as looking at, as far as the promotion of a 24-hour news service. Now, like you said, you have the internet, and I honestly think that the public is more interested in personalized news. Now, what do I mean by that? Based on ideology, people are more comfortable in pursuing their news through an ideological prism. So when you look at something like Fox, who are clearly on the right of things, and they are not hiding it. You know, they may be into disinformation, and I will say that from a conservative perspective. They may be into disinformation or misinformation, but they are at least honest that, hey, we'll give you news from our perspective, from the right side of the fence. CNN tries to play coy with that. We know that they are more on the left side of things, but they're not going to be honest about it. And also, just based on the clip we played a few moments ago, the clip, they're more into bumpers, like, which is a radio terminology, more into, you know, bumpers, music, little technological doodads. You know, when it comes down to campaign season, they're moving holograms left and right. I mean, sometimes it's better to keep things basic than trying to provide eye candy. So they're more comfortable in technological eye candy. They're not being upfront about their ideological persuasion. And bluntly, they're not very entertaining, unfortunately. And the public they're becoming more comfortable, honestly, Captain. They're becoming more comfortable with personalized, and maybe it's folks like what we're doing. You know how many people email us, Captain, talking about the stories that we bring to them that they were unaware of, that they literally come to us for information, which is what we want. But you have so many options out here that CNN, you know, 1980 when it came out, it was so much of a different world. It wasn't 1,000 cable channels. It was like maybe 5. So if you're not able to adjust with the times, you're going to get lost in the sauce. So it's unfortunate that's happening with CNN. And initially, I don't really have a problem with CNN, but they're going to have to tighten some things up and maybe start to appeal to what is truly interesting to people, and that's what's happening on the net. Maybe hire Captain Kirk and the Afro Nerd. I'm just saying. You hear me, Captain? I'm just saying. Maybe Barbara Espinosa needs to lose her job and put Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk in its place. I'm just saying. If you want to get to something that's new and fresh, I'm just saying. Captain, listen, I want to go to a musical break. When we get back, I'm going to open the lines. I want to speak to Mr. Garcia briefly for a moment. I'm going to send him along. He is a friend of mine, but we're going to have him on for just a few more moments when we go into the next story. Actually, I want to talk about Sean P. Diddy Combs versus music icon, well, you know who he is, Quincy Jones. You know what? Bear with me, folks. Let me find something apropos. All right. This is a cut I've played before. This is Politicians in My Eyes by a group called Death. Politicians in My Eyes. This group might have been the harbingers of punk rock music. Believe it or not, black folks might have discovered punk rock music. This is Politicians in My Eyes, Death. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
number one piece of game. When they gain number fame, like a race at the top, because they wanna be off. They don't care who they step on, as long as they get along. Politicians in my eyes. Less about you, they think less about me. As long as they are put in the place that they want to be, they're always wearing my clouds. I can't go with the style. Politicians in my eyes.
Okay, folks, once again, this is Afternoon Repeat featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:32 p.m. That was Death performing Politicians in My Eyes. And I would implore our listenership to check out a New York Times piece that goes in on this discovery of this group. It's a group that dates back to the late 60s, early 70s. And they were dissuaded from really going further with their musical stylings because at that time, you know, black music did not have that face. We have a little bit of it to this day, but back then, a black band calling themselves Death, performing punk music, which really wasn't even called punk at that time. They didn't know what to think of it. Now they've been rediscovered. So, you know, we give you the very best of urban alternative music here at Afternoon Radio. Also, we are working to get legendary hip-hop artist MC Light. MC Light is expected Tuesday, so we'll give you more information on that Sunday with our Week in Review show, but we're working on getting her on the show. But it looks like she may be coming in on Tuesday, so we'll have a special Tuesday show where we will sit down and kick it with MC Light. All right. Again, I have a friend of mine from the West Coast. I'm going to bring him back in just a few seconds. I want to get into this deal, Captain, with a swipe, that legendary musical icon. I mean, this guy, it gets no better than him. He is unquestionably a musical genius. Quincy Jones, elder statesman in the music community. And he was asked about Sean P. Diddy Combs, and he took a swipe at him. You know, they're acquaintances. I don't know if they're really friends. I mean, you know, they say that they're friends, but he says Diddy wouldn't know a B-flat if it hit him. Diddy wouldn't know a B-flat if it hit him. Now, in all fairness, he continues, P. Diddy has a doctorate in marketing, citing his clothing labels and success with Ciroc, you know, the vodka company, and, of course, his clothing line. So I had to bring this out because initially I looked at it as a very, you know, offhand, innocuous thing, but I think it's deeper than that. I think it's deeper than that, that a person who really is a tremendous talent, Quincy Jones, he's worked with the best, Ray Charles, Michael Jackson. I mean, he's worked with everybody, Frank Sinatra. So from his perspective, somebody that says, take that. I don't know, Captain. What are your thoughts? I'm going to bring Stanley back on this one. What are your thoughts on Quincy Jones? But I'm going to say something in favor of Diddy. But I want you to speak on this first, Captain, while I bring in Stanley. What are your thoughts on his comment?
Well, here's the thing, you know, you talk about, sometimes people talked about Clive Davis. Clive Davis was not a musical person. He didn't know,
correct,
couldn't read music. He didn't know anything whatsoever, but he knew how, he had a good ear. He was able to pick great artists throughout his whole career. But here's the difference, though. Clive Davis never performed on stage. And some people would say that because he didn't perform on stage and because he is white, they would give him a pass. Well, look, Clive Davis, even though this is about P. Diddy, all right, Clive Davis is what you call a record executive. P. Diddy is both. So now once you make yourself into both, now automatically your elder statesman, someone, the great Quincy Jones, can take a swipe at you. Can take a swipe. He can spank you a little bit and give you credit. And in my opinion, I think it is okay. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yes, my friend from the West Coast, Stan. What are your thoughts on this, man? What, you know, you know P. Diddy and these guys. I mean, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of P. Diddy. I love his motivation, his hunger. I just think Quincy Jones put it well, said it simple. You could be friends and be honest. You know, P. Diddy, like you said, he's a marketing guru. And you can't put P. Diddy at the same class as Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is a real producer. He is right. He would know the difference. I think that P. Diddy he wears all hats, and I just think, you know, there's nothing really into it. There's nothing big out of it. This is a guy who has an eye for something good, and he jumps on it. He's an opportunist.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, Stan. I guess my issue with it is, and I had my first reaction was, okay, I'm cheering on Team Quincy. I'm on Team Quincy, but then I had to be honest and say that probably three quarters of the music industry are comprised of people like Sean P. Diddy Combs, in the sense of someone who's more on the marketing side of things. As the captain has just stated, Clive Davis. He brought up Clive Davis. Clive Davis is a genius at what he does. I mean, he brought out Whitney Houston. He brought out, who's the gentleman's name? I can't think of his name right now. The Boss from Jersey. You know what I'm talking about, Captain.
Whitney Houston.
No. Another person from Jersey. Male. Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce
had a club there, folks.
Okay.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, you know, he has his talents. He's an attorney, though. He's an attorney, but he never set foot on stage. So I guess you do open yourself up to criticism if you are in the music game in that way. But that has a lot to do with, and the captain has corrected me on many times on this, with the generation that we are in. We are in a generation where the musical standard has just been lowered. I mean, I don't know if it's fair to compare a Duke Ellington or a Miles Davis or a Coltrane or a Stevie Wonder with Wiz Khalifa. You know, I do make the comparison, but I don't know if it's fair. I just think that young folk are into what they're into, and, you know, the truth comes out. Sometimes Quincy Jones might have blacked out, as they say on the street. He might have blacked out and said, you know what, I feel like being truthful. These guys, they're not musicians. But at the same time, P. Diddy, he wears both hats, but maybe he opened himself up to this because he's on stage too. Any remaining thoughts, Stan?
I would say P. Diddy is a performer. You know, he's a guy that performs. He doesn't have a niche. He's into everything. He's a guru in networking and marketing. He's a dot connector. I wouldn't say that you just put him in one position, in one slot, and say he's a genius. I wouldn't put the same sentence as Quincy Jones. You understand? That's all I have to say. And Quincy Jones' comments was simple. He's just saying he's being honest, and he's, I don't think it's that deep.
Well, listen, we're going to move along.
I think if he lied about it, so yes, B. Diddy is a, I would think he'd be untruthful.
Yeah, but you know something, Stan, the only issue is that
I'm a big Diddy fan. I give him a lot of respect, and I love his hunger and motivation. He has an eye for when something big is going to happen, he jumps on it, and I admire him for that. But other than that...
Well, I guess my thing is that the way the culture is, it's very difficult to tell the truth. So what he says, someone, especially Generation Y, may look at it as, oh, he's just an old guy hating. That's how it's going to be interpreted with this generation. But listen, Stan, we have a lot more show to get to. As always, brother. You know, I don't go tribal, but I go tribal with you, my brother.
To
you.
Good talking to you. I love your show. You guys, you and Captain Kirk are doing awesome. Keep up the good work, and I'll be listening.
Sounds good, man. We appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. That was my friend Stanley Garcia from the West Coast. All right, Captain, we got to move to the next topic because we only have about 18 minutes remaining. I want to talk about, actually, what do I have on list here? I want to talk about cannibalism. We spoke about this briefly when Stan brought this up, but I think we need to get into some more detail. I don't know what to think. I mean, listen, I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, and I looked at that as fantasy, Captain. I don't think it's fantasy anymore. I think a lot of this is starting to encroach onto reality. We're talking about more zombie talks. People are hopped up on drugs. We don't know what they're using. First, they're talking about bath salts, which is a street name for some kind of hallucinogenic. They're talking about bath salts. Now they're talking about this K9 stuff, or Special K, which is supposed to be a synthetic marijuana drug. Someone is on something. People are being found eating flesh, growling, taking their clothes off. We're seeing more and more incidents. And my fear, not that I might be eaten, not just that, Captain, but also that we're seeing black faces being attached to this stuff. That's my fear, that being of African descent, Captain, we've heard our fair share of cannibalistic jokes anyway, dating back to when we were brought here in the hulls of slave ships. But now it's the 21st century. I just think there's going to be more fodder for foolishness when you see some black faces being attached to this behavior. What are your thoughts?
Well, hallucinogenics, from my standpoint, are never a good situation. Never a good situation if that's what's really happening. Also, too, something I just want to add to this. Anytime you're mixing drugs, it can be as simple as marijuana and nicotine. If you remember years ago when people used to smoke weed with the Easy Rider, and people were going to school, going to high school, smoking weed with the Easy Rider. It wasn't making them crazy. Their eyes turned red. Okay? Now, they smoke the blunt. They take the cigar, you understand, with whatever's wrapped in that cigar, the leaf, and they put the marijuana in there. Whatever's in the marijuana, I don't know. Now their eyes turn yellow. Make them a little crazy. You know, marijuana's supposed to make you mild, but it seems to make them a little mild and a little crazy. Different effect. You take cocaine and alcohol, different effect. So I don't know what's really going on with this quote-unquote bath salt or whatever else is going on, you know, with these hallucinogenics that they're mixing and they're playing games with. But it seems like it's taking them into another dimension, and they think there's something else. You know, and they're just totally losing it. So it's not a good look. So anyone who's listening, don't experiment with it. You already see the end result. It's not a good situation. Leave it alone. Okay, just entirely leave it alone. Stick to your little alcohol. We don't endorse drugs here, but if you're going to smoke some weed, take it with a little Easy Rider paper and just leave things alone. Keep it simple. There you go. Back over to you, Sir Alpha Nerd.
You know, I might have mentioned this before on an earlier broadcast, and I for some reason, sometimes someone could say something very, very not so specific, but very blunt, very simple. someone can say something very simple and then it really hits you hard. And I have to shout out Rob Redding, who is a serious radio host. And he talked about Trayvon Martin. I mentioned this before, Captain, that although I believe that Trayvon was shot in an unfortunate circumstance, unquestionably, he was unarmed. We don't know everything that's going on as to how he was shot, but I believe that he was unarmed and he did not deserve to be killed. I believe that. But the fact that when they start getting into a person's character and they found that there was traces of marijuana in his system, Rob Redding had said that we have to start to teach our young men and specifically young men of color, to really go about your daily business unencumbered with drugs. And we talk about say no to drugs, you can keep it real simple, but the way he talked about it was more than ever, based on what's happening in your culture, what's happening in your community, you need to be able to walk this earth with a clear mind. And when you hear folks who are on weed, when they talk about weed, they talk about it in a very coy way. Oh, it was just weed, it's no big deal. Listen, this stuff, for the most part, or any drugs you buy on the street, we're talking about substances that are not regulated. We don't know what's in them. You just cannot walk around without your senses. And you see what's happening. These folks don't even know really what they're ingesting. Now, specifically, I mentioned K9. I'm sorry, apologies to the audience. This particular street name drug is called K2. K2. The young man at the center of this story is a Michael Teron Daniel. Michael Teron Daniel. You can go to rawstory.com. Again, rawstory.com. 22 years old, Waco, Texas. And they're saying this was a zombie-style attack. It wasn't a human being. But folks in this country are very sensitive when it comes to animals. He was killing his family pet, biting the flesh from this animal, and the animal did not survive. And he was out there growling. It says, I mean, I hate to be grotesque, but I hate to be grotesque, but we're going to have to be honest as to what's happening here. It says, according to the Raw story, Mr. Daniel then ran into the yard where he was observed to get on his hands and knees and chased a neighbor while barking and growling like a dog, police said. Mr. Daniel was then observed to take a live medium-sized black dog onto the front porch where he began to strike the dog, strangle the dog, and began to bite into the dog, ripping pieces of flesh away from the animal. The dog died at the scene. Daniel was found at the scene covered in blood and fur, the dog's body strewn across his lap. Wow. Captain, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I was going to say something is wrong in Houston, but something is wrong in Waco or Waco, Texas. For the sake of this conversation, I'd rather say Waco, Texas. Any more thoughts on this, Captain, before we move along? I mean, this is just, I mean, you know, this is a pet. It's not a human being, but it's a rough road, man.
Leave drugs alone. There you go. Leave them alone.
Obviously. I mean, what kind of drug causes a person to growl around like an animal and start biting dogs and people? The poor man in Miami has no face, folks. He has no face. Wow. All right, listen, folks, again, feel free to give us a buzz in. We are live. I see flyover territories in our chat room. Again, flyover, we definitely appreciate your support. The call-in number is 915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Just as a reminder, as I said, we are expecting NC Light sometime next week, Tuesday, I think, tentatively Tuesday. And also Sunday, we have Mr. Larry Tye, an author for The Comic Shop at 6 p.m., where we'll be talking about his biography on Superman. Yes, he wrote a book on Superman, but not just Superman, but the creators of Superman, as well as the circumstances regarding why Superman is so popular, why he is an enduring hero. All right, Captain, as I said, I'm going to go to a quick musical break. Let's see. I just saw what I wanted to play. Now I lost it. We have so much music here, folks. And then after the musical break, we'll get into, I think, gang violence. Gang violence and just gangs in particular. over 100 of them, 100 of them found in the Bronx, which is just one of five boroughs of the city, which is scary, terribly scary. All right, this is Soul Live Reverb. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. Let's groove.
Goes to New York, Nick Amari Stoudemire. What's the problem, Amari? You got rid of your cornrows, but you are still behaving like a man who has them. Now, over the weekend, Brian Ferrelli made an online post, and in the post, he said Amari Stoudemire needed to come back next season quicker and stronger to make up for this past season. Guess what? Brian Ferrelli is absolutely right. That whole post he made was fair and constructive criticism. Wasn't any slander in that online post at all. Well, as we all know, nothing hurts more like the truth, and Amari was obviously touched by it, so he sent Brian Ferrelli a DM on Twitter that said, F you, I don't have to do anything, and then he called him a gay slur that rhymes with maggot. Amari Stoudemire did apologize after his comment went viral, but the NBA doesn't care. They fined him $50,000. Amari has obviously never paid attention to any of these NBA anti-gay campaigns.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, defensive to gay.
Okay, folks. Because of time constraints, I'm going to let go of the 100 active gang stories in the Bronx. We'll talk about that on Sunday's Week in Review show. That was a snippet from The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne Tha God. I'm no real fan of the show per se, but I thought that he did go in on New York Knickerbocker Amari Stoudemire correctly, that this young man – well, first of all, I'm a Knicks fan, stemming from Jeremy Lin, who has that Ivy League pedigree that I like so much. I'm going to be frank. No tattoos, no quote-unquote nigga nonsense. I appreciate Jeremy Lin. So I'm a Knickerbocker fan. And, you know, from the playoffs, we saw that Stoudemire, he hit his hand, he bugged out, whatever. Now he took some criticism from an online critic. And then he goes in on this gentleman by tweet, a direct message, and calls him the F word. And the gay folks are not going to allow that. Now, as black people, we are very, you know, we're comfortable with the N word, but some other groups are not comfortable with their slurs. So he lost out on 50 grand. Maybe it's not a big, not a lot of money to him. To most folks, $50,000 is a lot of money. Captain, we got about 2 minutes. What are your thoughts on this fine? There's a lot I could talk about, but what are your thoughts on this?
First and foremost, the NBA has a conduct policy. You violate the conduct policy, that's it. They're going to fine you. Enough said. There's not really too much to talk about it. From their standpoint, you violate the conduct policy, so you have to be fined. Simply put, one of the things that it says, anything that you do outside of the NBA that can make the NBA look bad is in violation of the conduct policy, and is to be determined by the commissioner himself, the NBA. Okay, and then you will be fined. It's real simple. So you have to be able to watch your step. There you have it, Sir Affleck.
Well, Captain, didn't I say on a show or two ago that the gay folk have taken over the civil rights movement?
Yes, you did.
Let me repeat that, folks. They have taken over the civil rights movement. They're showing you how it's done. When something goes down that they do not approve of, you're going to get smacked for it. With us, Gwyneth Paltrow can call you the N-word, and I don't have anything against her. I thought she used it correctly because of the circumstances, because of the times we're living in. However, when you disrespect yourself, others are comfortable in disrespecting you as well. Simple and plain. These are the times we're living in. So you can't get a Barbara Espinoza off the air when she calls your president a monkey. You can't do that. And at the same time, the gay folks will shut you down and make you pay for disrespecting them. So I think it's – Captain, we've got to do something or else, we're going to lose. We're losing. It's ridiculous. Any parting shots before we get on up out of here? We got to go to the gym. I got to get my I'm sorry, go ahead, Captain.
Well, you just delivered a heavy dose of medicine when you said if you don't respect yourself, you cannot get other people to respect you. That sums it up entirely. That's heavy. That's very heavy. So there you have it, Sir Affleck.
All right, folks. Stop by once again. For Afner featuring the Captain Kirk on Sunday's Week in Review. I'm sorry, Sunday's Week in Review show. And before that, with the great Daryl B, we have the comic shop. All right. This is Jose James, Promise and Love from the Black Magic CD. We see you guys and gals on Sunday. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks again.
Promise and love, baby, gonna take you on a high. Promise.